If you grow broccoli, cabbage, or cauliflower, be on the lookout for a certain fungal infection that could cause clubroot. I'm Laura Kennedy, and this is GLT's Grow, your source for practical gardening advice from our expert in the field, from the Illinois State University School of Biological Sciences and curator of the Fell Arboretum. It's Mr. Patrick Murphy. Hello, Murph.
Hi, Laura.
Glad to have you here today. Today on GLT's Grow, Murph has advice on dealing with the dreaded club root, and we just don't need those fungal infections in our gardens.
We don't, and I think it was a great idea to talk about this, Laura, because everybody's getting ready to get their gardens set up, and this group of plants, the cruciferous plants, that include the broccoli, cauliflower, and cabbage that you mentioned, they're very susceptible to the club root. In that same family, you also have kohlrabi and horseradish, turnips, mustard, kale, radish, and rutabaga.
So basically, this could ruin a whole garden full of healthy veggies.
Right, and you know, it leads me to draw on other conversations we've had about soil testing.
Yeah.
And that's a big help in many ways, but it's certainly going to help you if you're dealing with club root, or if our conversation motivates you to have some concern, because not rotating this group of plants in your garden sufficiently can help develop the problem at the same time. But the club root itself, Laura, you know, but it's an enlarged, deformed club-shaped roots, and they turn black.
Oh, no.
Then they rot, and then comes a smell with the rotting below-ground parts. But the above-ground parts are not as obvious, because you would just see maybe some wilting or yellowing, or even a purplish color to your foliage. And it thrives in acidic soil, so pH is important, and that brings us back to the importance of soil testing.
Mm-hmm.
So raising the soil pH and lowering it is not easy to do.
Really?
And you can only do it in small increments, typically. And 7.0 to 7.2 is kind of optimal for these cruciferous plants. If you had a soil test and it detailed that your soil was normal and there were no buildups or deficiencies of important micronutrients such as magnesium, if it was just a normal soil test but the pH was a little low, you could increase the pH by adding calcitic lime. But if your soil test says, you know, you have such and such a pH but your magnesium is low, you would need dolomitic lime. So you can't just put the lime on to correct it. You got to know
what lime
exactly you're correcting for, right?
Right.
And you would want to do all this stuff a minimum of 6 weeks before you even put these plants into your garden.
Oh, boy. You're listening to GLT's Grow, our weekly gardening show for those who like to get their hands dirty. This week, dealing with club root. What causes this, Murph?
There is a fungus that's in the soil, and, you know, it can last for 10 years.
Where does it come from?
Oh, you know, Laura, I'm sorry. I didn't sufficiently identify the family that this fungus comes from, but there are several soil funguses, and they have certain likes. They have preferences and tastes, I guess, right? So some funguses are more harmful to these cruciferous plants, where some soil funguses attack our turf, for example. These like this family of plants. And then, you know, having said that, if you think about some of the more popular characters in this group, broccoli, cauliflower, cabbage, the kale, they all look a little bit alike, where you get this big leafy collection with the edible stuff kind of in the center, you know, the best parts in the center. The rotation is helpful, and there's a couple other things we can talk about, but a lot of these plants, you can get them in a resistance form. So you can get the
seed. So there are varieties that say, hey, this variety will resist club root.
There are some. But the thing that I think gets people into the most trouble is planting their plots in the same manner year after year. That'll get you in trouble not only with these plants, but your tomatoes, for example, right? You can get anthracnose in the soil, and verticillium and things like that. And there are also fungus that are in the soil, but they attack certain plants.
Mm-hmm.
A lot of funguses are helpful and beneficial, like the mycelium and stuff we've talked about that aids a lot of plants.
So if I'm growing cabbage one year in a certain plot, then the next year I should grow tomatoes there, or and then maybe the next year peas, and then I can get back to cabbage the next year, something like
yeah,
that?
Yeah, it's on the fourth or fifth year that you can return to the same spot with something out of this family, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you're in the right spot. This is another opportunity for us all to use our taxpayer dollars and get some great advice from Extension. Extension every year offers these combinations of pallets that you can combine in your garden where certain plants do best park next to others, and the opposite is true also, right? So you mentioned the tomatoes, you know, zucchinis, all everything in your garden, it needs to have some level of rotation, right? But there's also some other things that we can do in addition to the crop rotation. And they're kind of simple things, and they're along the lines of things we've talked about in other programs, and that's to clean and disinfect our tools.
Oh, good point.
So cleaning them, yeah, you can get them cleaned off with the garden hose, or you can get them cleaned off with a bucket of sand. You know, that does a great job.
Hygiene.
But you got to know for sure you're getting all this stuff, because it could be in that little crease in the weld on your shovel, right? So there's Lysol.
That's not a bad idea. But, you know, when I'm gardening, I like to just wear my wellies. And I'm concerned, would it be possible to get some on my wellies and then walk to a different part of my garden and infect that part of my garden?
Absolutely.
Oh, dear.
It is, you know. And so if you got a gardener friend who is fortunately going to come home and help you, going to come over to your house and help you, and
yeah,
they're slipping on their old Chuck Taylor Converse tennis shoes that they use for gardening, and there's a little bit of that mud or, you know, left on there, and then they walk around in your garden, there you go.
Oh,
you've made the transfer, right? Now, if you were to have this, so you say you plant your kale and your kohlrabi and your rutabaga, and you have club root.
Can I treat it with something?
You can, but before you treat it, you got to dispose of the whole plant. So you'd have to dig up enough of the soil to capture as much of its roots as possible. And then don't throw this in your compost. It'll live in there. You're going to have to dispose of it either by burning it, and you can burn the soil along with all the other vegetation.
Soil burns?
It'll burn too.
Wow.
Yep. And
that
stuff
sounds like a great 80s band. Soil Burns. Yeah.
Soil Burns. I love it. Ladies and gentlemen, put your hands together. Soil Burns.
Whoa!
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Okay.
I love it. So you would throw these plants in your garbage. You wouldn't throw them in your compost. You wouldn't move them to another part of the yard to dispose of them in a low spot. You know, that's something that happens.
If there's somebody in the neighborhood you don't like, maybe you could throw it in their yard.
Man, yeah, that's dark. That is dark. And we don't want to do that.
No. We're just kidding.
But if, you know, I live in the township, so I can burn. And it's great being able to burn. But if you live in town, you got to be careful. You don't want to catch your neighbor's property on fire.
Absolutely. And can I spray something on the plants?
There are
the soil there?
I'm going to say no.
Okay.
You know, there are some opinions. I saw Oregon Extension said that there were some fungicides that could be used, but then you got to put a tent or a low dome over what you're spraying, and fungicides don't penetrate the soil unless you inject it into the soil.
Wow.
So it's better to just look for the resistant plants or seeds and eliminate them and do a good rotation job, and you'll be fine.
Okay, great. Thank you so much, Murph. Now, next week, attention baking fans. Murph has suggestions for plants that can add a tasty dimension to your efforts. I'm hungry already. Can't wait. Now, if you've got a gardening question or a problem this spring that you'd like Murph to tackle, go to our website, wglt.org/grow. There's a form there. All you have to do is fill it in and send it along to us, and maybe Murph will answer your question on the air. Submit those questions, wglt.org/grow.